This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab. This is where all the hard work gets done behind the scenes so we can come up with some great statistics for you over at the Science of FantasyFootball.com. We're so glad to be back again for another edition of the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake. And joining me as he does each and every week on the Data Lab, it's the Professor John Bush. John, welcome back.
I'm cooking up my potions, ready to roll.
Oh, yes. And when we go into the laboratory, there is one rule that is up on the lab wall. Yeah. And that is, in fantasy football, year-end stats are too lazy for this lab.
Ooh. Okay, that's fight words out there in Twitter land.
I know it's fighting words, but today we're going to show by the numbers why year-end points. Yeah, it's kind of cutesy to say they're lazy stats. I say they're lazy stats as a way to tease people because I think it's a case of most people use these stats not because they're lazy, but because they don't know how to look at statistics. And that's what we're here for. That's what the data doctors are here to tell you. But we're going to look at three players who were just about dead even last year when it comes to year-end points. Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow finishing 6th, 7th, and 8th in quarterback points last year for the full season. And that data doesn't tell me what I need to know to be a better fantasy football player. And Professor, you've got some stats that really show why. And you got an article coming out very soon on Science of Fantasy Football that will tell people all they need to know about these three players and why year-end stats are deceiving.
That's true. I have been hitting the video lessons really hard on the median consistency angle. We talked a little bit about that last time, saying there are multiple ways to take the Oregon Trail if you were a pioneer, but some ways through the desert, some ways through the Rocky Mountains, and some ways maybe north through a lot of the high plains. Probably took, you know, could be taking the same time, but a way different journey and hard. You know, certain, you know, like the desert, you're going to be thirsty. The mountains, you're going to be tired. And so different ways to get maybe to the same spot. And that's why this case study, I think, is important to try to illustrate that it's kind of like, how did they earn their points? And I use the median consistency model that I developed this year. You have been using pretty much the same metric using your way to do consistency, which is all over our Science of Fantasy website. You can look at all your foundational articles and everything. So we're kind of looking at my journey. This is my first year. It's beta testing. And again, we started out to look at fantasy points and pretty much the same points, right? 10-point difference between Prescott, Burrow, and Rodgers. Fantasy points per game are pretty close, about 24.4 to about 23.9. So I think really about the same per week as well. But my consistency says Rodgers was the best, Dak was next, and Burrow was at the bottom. And so if I believe this, which I will be using, I would draft Rodgers over Prescott and Burrow in that order if I'm having to draft the 6th, 7th, or 8th QB, or, you know, and certainly every one of these would be at value at, say, ADP 13th quarterback, right? So we all have that. Everybody can be of value, you know, at the cheap price. But I'm just saying, if the prices are about what they are now, Rodgers is probably where you'll lean, and then Dak, and then Burrow. And so I'll let you jump in, Dennis. You might have some insight on using your methods, but that's what how I see their journeys.
Yeah, and I think you are coming up with some interesting data that does back up some of what I believe at quarterback, but it also shows one little flaw, perhaps, in my weekly values when it comes to quarterbacks, because I grade the best games when it comes to my weekly values. Prescott and Rodgers were 0.8 of a point away, which is nothing in the big scheme of things. Burrow was 2.5 points behind the top guy, Dak Prescott, of these three. And that is a pretty big significant difference. 3 points is a full tier, so 2.6 points to between Dak and Prescott, or Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow, is almost a full tier difference in value. Now, I will say this. My data uses two-year windows, and that tends to smooth the data out a little bit, rather than getting the big swings in data that you have with only 17 data points in a typical season. But as I've said on many occasions, consistency does matter in fantasy football, but the right definition of consistency has to be used. And maybe using the word consistency is the wrong word. I'm not really sure, but I haven't come up with a better word yet to describe this. But what I look at in consistency is how many players or points did a guy score? How many times did he score what I'd consider a minimum floor to be happy with my quarterback? I am, in other words, looking at games where the quarterback didn't hurt me, and that the quarterback may have won a game for me. I'm discrediting any games that were just a little bit below that or a lot below that. So I don't care if a guy scored 1 point or 24 points, he's not hitting my consistency number of 25, which I use 6-point touchdowns for both throwing and running, which I do to sort of equate out that rushing spike that you get sometimes with some quarterbacks that are mobile. They don't find the receiver open, so instead they run it in. The following year, they might find that receiver open and throw it in the red zone. So you see a fluctuation in running back rushing touchdowns, and that's the way I have attempted to smooth that data out. But when you look at all the numbers by consistency, Dak is way below Prescott. He's 13 points below. He was only in 5.4 of every 10 games.
You talking about Burrow?
Burrow.
Yeah, only, you said Dak, yeah.
I'm sorry. Burrow was only
50, below Dak. Yeah.
Only had a 54% consistency to 67 for Dak. 13 points in consistency is huge. If you're more than 5 or 6%, that's a significant number. Rodgers was at 84, so he was a full 17 points above Dak and a full 30 points above Burrow. Now, this is for last two seasons. He had his favorite target at wide receiver, Davante Adams. He misses him this year. How is that going to affect the stats? We're not even concerning ourselves with the forecast at this point. We're just trying to understand the data from last year. So what it tells me, Professor, is that my consistency numbers and the way you're looking at consistency are seeing the exact same thing when it comes to my best 10 weekly value score, which tries to look more at the consistency of big game ability. The players are a lot closer, which is very interesting. So what we've always preached about here in the data lab is that you can have a great metric, but you got to look at other metrics too to really determine the value of players, because sometimes one number doesn't do it.
One of my lessons, kind of segueing here on that, it's called principal component analysis. And I did that last year, and I've got some video lessons called PCA. And it turns out that quarterbacks have three different data streams that my model predicts, just kind of overall, not trying to parse out consistency. One is certainly passing. I think the accuracy might be another, completion rates, and then running. So what you're saying has been shown, at least with another way, a third way to look at quarterbacks, at least three data streams. Here we're talking about multiple data streams as well. My consistency of the median, your big game, and then your other consistency model as well. So we're using multiple data streams, which we hope will allow us to get a robust view of the data and try to minimize all technique errors. There's no perfect, right, you know, way to predict the future. Everything is a trade-off in errors. And that's why we recommend multiple ways to look at things. And I think multiple ways to win a league, I think, is the same concept. You can't just be rigid. You know, you've got to be flexible. And that's why the value aspect has to be part of the draft strategy.
And before you can even attempt a forecast in fantasy football, it's just like before you attempt to do any forecasting in weather forecasting or any prediction in horse racing. You have to have good past performance data. You have to understand what that past performance data is trying to tell you. In the case of weather, you're looking for little boundaries. You're looking for changes. You're looking for areas of convergence and divergence. In horse racing, you're looking for speed figures. You're looking at jockey winning percentage. You're looking at weight. You're looking at speed over a short period of time within a race. You're looking at class. All of that information is in the past performances, but it looks like Greek to someone who doesn't understand the data. In fantasy football, it's the same way. You could say, players are inconsistent, so consistency doesn't matter. No, what you're telling me by saying such a thing is you don't understand how to measure consistency. We've given you a couple of different ways here. You can grade it versus a score. A floor score, if you think of that. How often did that player hit his score? Or even better, you can do it the way the professor is doing, and you could compare to a median. Because if you're better than median, you helped your team win that year. And if you understand the data from last season and the last two seasons combined, then and only then are you ready to even dare to tackle a forecast for the future.
And again, when you had the forecast, and we'll talk about this probably lots more time, value, right? You don't, my model says player X is the best. So should I pick him number one if I've got the first pick, or do I pick, say, you know, CMC, Taylor, somebody, or do I immediately go and pick the best? You know, and No, you got to have the value. Why would you jump in before you need to, right? When you're drafting, you know, you kind of plan it out like, you know, this player may be there still. People are not realizing the consistency is telling us he's a stronger value than most people would believe. And that's why we develop these tools so we can see maybe a little clearer, not, you know, 2020, but a little bit less hazy, and we should win more than not, having a little bit better edge over, you know, our competitors. At least that's the idea of working so damn hard on this metric, is to try to win some money at the end of the day.
And I have always gone into my analysis here of players, and when it comes to my best 10 tool, the position that I am the least confident of it finding me the right guy year in, year out, has always been a quarterback. Quarterback, there are so many other factors that you have to look at. And I am a big believer that maybe games over median is going to be a better way to look at the potential of a quarterback and almost remove them from the other list of players and just try to treat them completely different. And you let ADP bring into play a lot of the different factors of when you draft that quarterback, rather than relying on a tool like my position scarcity index. But Professor, your games above median data at each position is going to be a winner, but it really pointed out to me the big difference between 6, 7, and 8 in total points, that these are not three players that are that close.
Yeah, I tried to smooth out the data, and you know, when you kind of walk away and try to model the data, you always have that risk, right? Because, you know, if stats were so easy, that'd be one way to do it. But if you've had a stat textbook, they're not a page. If you've done weather stat textbooks or biology, there could be multiple books involved in stats. That's how deep it can go. And then you could have stat people arguing about, you know, we should use this, no, use that. Well, they'll debate at scientific meetings about metrics and the stat. You should have used Mr. Y's stats. No, Mr. Z has a better way to look at this situation. You know, maybe it's better at salamanders versus birds or something. So realize there's a lot of complexity here, and we don't need to get into all that, you know, for fantasy. So I try to make it a little bit easier for you, but I tried to model, and the model showed that Rodgers skirted the median for quarterbacks a lot more of the time, more consistently than did Dak and Burrow. Burrow was coming on at the end. If you just looked at his last few games and forgot everything else up to that point, turned a blind eye, then you would probably say, oh, Burrow's better than both these guys. But, maybe that's how it's going to be. You know, but three data points, 3 or 4 weeks, that's tough. And it's like, you know, we're going to have this in season. Somebody's going to do something week one that's going to surprise. They'll make 3 touchdowns, and everybody's going to go nut crazy on the waiver wire, and they may not do another thing the whole season. And it gets crazy with sensationalism and all sorts of other human biases that are a problem. That's why metrics and data and stats try to remove the biases that we all, me too, have in when we see something. Wow, that was amazing. Or, wow, his arm looks like a noodle. You've heard that a lot. You know, they were talking. And you just, you know, you let other people influence you. When you look at data and look across, and Dennis does, the 2-year window, that probably is safer, and he's more insulated from making biased mistakes and blowing up in a landmine field that you didn't even know there were mines there. And that's what we're trying to avoid, and that's why we're putting all this effort in to probably walk away from our biases, and we'll lead ourselves astray.
Data is the key to avoiding falling in love with a player and ending up drafting someone just because he was the hot item, or picking him up on waivers because he was the hot item last week. Don't chase yesterday's points. Try to predict the future, and go over and check out the professor's article at the scienceoffantasyfootball.com, and follow us on Twitter at @Sy_FF and me at DMike Media. And we'll be making sure that you get to look at that article and analyze it yourself. Give us peer review. Let us know what you think of the methodology, or if you have any questions, that's what we're here for. in the Data Lab. So until next week, on For Frequency's Sake for the Data Lab, this is Dennis Michelson. Professor, thanks for joining me again this week.
It's always fun. Remember, folks, let's fight those biases here. Use that data.